So when you say you don't know how to play football anymore, what do you mean?
I just don't care.
Okay, so...
I don't like, you know...
What don't you like about it?
No, it's not about not liking. It's just... You know what? You realize you've been manipulated.
Yes, I was going
to
ask you
okay,
about
oh
that.
Yeah, we got stuff to talk about. I'm going to tell you. You realize, see, you know what, man? First of all, I've been sold a bill of goods. It's like everyone tells you football is the best thing in the world. Everybody's watching. The whole world is watching. And you get the feeling like everything's life or death. Like the coaches, the owners, the people. I mean, there are people who die and put like logos on their headstones.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you realize, but then you get behind the scenes and you realize it's so much bullshit because this is the deal. You realize all the money goes to the same place.
Exactly.
Like, it doesn't matter if you win them all. It doesn't matter if you lose them all. They all share the revenues. Exactly. So it's not about life or death. And in fact, I hate to bust people's bubble all the time because the actual competition is an illusion.
Yeah.
Because it's one company. You understand what I mean?
Right.
And listen, I do advertising, a whole thing. And, you know, you realize that Tide and Cheer is made by the same company. But they make it like, oh, Tide is better than Cheer. No, Cheer is better than Tide because it sells more soap.
And also, you may be getting, like, transferred to other teams. But, Terry, at what point do you realize that as an athlete? Because I imagine, like, whatever kind of professional athlete you are, in whatever realm, I would imagine that realization does hit you, especially if you are moving from team to team, so you don't necessarily, like...
I'm being real. Some people never realize it.
Really?
That's the issue. Now, me, personally, it was a way out of Flint, Michigan for me. I mean, you know, Flint's been bad for 40 years, 50 years. It's been going down, okay? I grew up in the whole crack epidemic, and it was crazy, and the decline of the GM and all that stuff. The auto industry fell. Then, you know, the water thing just happened. You know, everybody's like, no, Flint's been bad for a long time. But sports was my way out. But I was an artist, painting, drawing. But I knew no one was going to give me a full ride scholarship to paint or draw.
So you worked your ass off in high school.
Yes.
And what did it feel like? Because I don't know. I have wondered because my husband played high school football and he was defense, and I have really wondered what it must be like to slam your body with all of its might. I've never done anything like that against somebody else.
Listen, I this is how I survived. My biggest skill, I couldn't catch, I couldn't throw. But my skill was the ability to take tremendous amounts of pain.
Fuck.
That was the whole thing.
Terry,
that was the whole thing.
That is so fucking crazy.
You have to be able to take pain. And I remember I got knocked out on Monday Night Football live. My wife was watching everything.
When you're taking that much pain, how do you not feel angry?
No, well, you do. No, you got to understand, NFL players, it's hard to be an NFL player with two good parents. You know what I mean? You use pain. You use anger. My father was abusive to my mother. I mean, it was crazy. He beat her and the whole thing. And you kind of use everything. Everybody ever, you know, counted you out.
Yeah.
It's like, I tell people all the time, the NFL is jail with money. That's the whole thing. It's jail with money. Because to have two good parents and be in the NFL is really, I mean, they're going to quit. You know, you might be a quarterback. But the other guys...
I know, I was going to say, like, are you white? You know what I mean?
It's kind of like you get coddled or whatever.
I don't want to put you in that position, but that's sort of, that's what we see as viewers.
But you can also go the other route when you see, like, the country boy who's always trying to prove something to his dad. He's like, you're a person, ain't nothing.
Right.
And that's white people, too. You know what I mean? And it's kind of like they're always trying to play... See, you got to understand how men operate. Men,
yes, please
this
tell
is
me.
Difference between men, and there's a big difference between men and women. And
I
of
love
course,
this. I love where we're going here, Terry.
I'm generalizing.
Oh,
yes.
I love
anybody
it.
Anybody say, you're just generalizing? Yes, I am.
Fuck yeah.
Because we're different, okay? Men are manipulated through pride.
I thought you were manipulated through pussy. I mean the ultimate goal is
money,
stature.
But you got to understand. All the conquest of a woman is so you have more pride. You got to understand. This is
so
how women become trophies.
Women,
This is why you want the finest thing in the room. You want three of the finest thing in the room. It's not for you.
Right.
It's for them.
Right.
It's for how
right.
they look
That's
at you.
That's why men will fuck a woman and they will tell all their friends
right.
way more quickly than a woman will fuck a dude and tell her
Because
friends.
It's not about any of that experience. It's not about that at all. It's pride. And let me tell you something. With women, however.
Ooh, I love it.
Women are manipulated through fear. Let me tell you, if I wanted to get on a girl that like mess around with a girl's head or whatever,
yes.
I'm like, wow, you know, ooh, you know, you're getting a little old, aren't you? You know, you're looking a little.
You
see what I mean? Like, wow, you know, you don't, you will play on the
yeah,
fact
but wait,
that.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
And
Terry,
that's fear.
If you weren't, if I was your wife and I said to you, babe, you're getting a little old. Come on, you're getting a little old.
That's,
you
what I, that's good you living, girl.
Okay.
That don't hurt me at all. That doesn't hurt a guy at all. He's like, yeah, you know what? That's kind of cool. Like, you got gray
okay,
in your beard.
About-
oh, yeah, I want a gray streak going all the way down to my... And it doesn't affect us at all. But if you said, you know what? Wow, last night, that was so weak. I'd be like, what? What did you say? Because the pride. You hurt my pride. Now you're saying I'm less of a man. Now... You're playing on. See, this is how guys operate. They go, they're on a. They could be on a roof, and they be like, "I bet you won't jump off. I bet you I will." And they, no, I bet you won't. I bet you won't. And you need a woman somewhere to stop the stupidity. Every bar fight starts with pride. What are you looking at? What are you looking at? And now it's like if they were all by themselves, they would just walk away. But it's about everybody looking at you.
Right.
And I don't want to look like a pussy. I'm not going to look like a punk. Not in front of everybody, especially in front of my girl. You looking at my girl?
Yeah.
And it's ridiculous. And it's absolutely insane. But where women are playing, and a guy, this is how people pimp women. Like, they play on their fears. They play like, ain't nobody going to want you, girl. You're going to be, ain't nobody, you know what? Listen, you better be lucky I'm here for you. Because...
I'd feel like I dated.
Oh, and they play on a woman's insecurities and their fear that they're going to be alone and their fear
but
that they're getting older.
What's their ultimate goal?
But you know what? This is the deal. It's all a lie. Both of those things are a lie. And this is the thing that I figured out. Now, I've been married 28 years. My wife and I, we grew up together. Okay, but what one thing that I discovered is that in this patriarchal society, there's a cult of masculinity. Okay, you got to be the strongest, the best, the hardest, so you can run it and you can be the man because you have an image to uphold. There's an image that you got to, you know, I am the man. I run this thing, and in fact, what happens though, because of all this, you actually believe as a man. That you are more valuable than women. That
I cannot believe you're saying that as a man.
Oh, yeah, listen to me.
Because I feel like that is something that most women have known for a long time.
Well, they know it.
But a man has never said that.
Listen,
I love you.
I have to say it because I was in a cult. People don't understand that the cult of masculinity is a cult. It's just like David Koresh or Jim Jones. And this is why women come and they go, why doesn't he understand? He's hurting everyone and hurting our feelings. He doesn't understand it. He's like gone. There's a cult. He's in this man thing that does not empathize with you. And that's really hard for women to understand. Like, they can look at you so freaking cold. And they're like, but how can he not know that he's hurting? Because in the cult, the rules of the cult say, man, you don't show no feeling. In fact, they got songs about it. I don't love no hoes. We don't love y'all. You know what I mean? And you're like, wait, why are you going out with me? No, you do love me, don't you? And they're like, I don't love you, bitch. And the whole thing, and they still... feel like a woman is just property, things to be manipulated and the whole thing. Let me tell you, it sneaks into everything. It is insidious. It is one of the most dangerous things that men fall for all the time. And I have to fight against it. You have to fight it.
Has your life been, I mean, I love everything that you're saying. Have you felt more reward in your relationships with women in your life after sort of escaping the idea of the cult of masculinity?
Oh, yeah, listen.
And has it been ultimately like good for you, or is it kind of like still like, well, oh,
No. Let me tell you something. My wife was like, I'm out of here. Okay. She was like, I'm done. You are an idiot. And I was like, what are you? You know what? In my head, I was like, fuck you. I got all this money. I can just go get another one. I can just go get another girl. Okay, fine. You know what? Do it. All right, bye. Bye. And let me tell you something. I never saw her pain. I have four daughters. And I was ice cold. And I was like, whatever. You know what? I'm the man. I run this. And I remember my daughter, she's 30 now, but at the time she was 15, she was like, you can't control me, Dad. I was like, ain't nobody controlling you, but I run all of this. So you better do as I say. And it was my way or the highway. But let me tell you something. When my wife was like, I'm out of here. I'm done. I was like, at first I was like, whatever, you know, go ahead and go, you know, whatever. And then all of a sudden I went, maybe it's me.
How did you do that?
Let me tell you something. I don't know. It's kind of weird, but when you're alone and when you're by yourself, it's probably really good that I didn't have a bunch of guys going, you know what, leave her. Come on, man, let's go out here. Let's go hang and forget that. And let me cheer you up. I was by myself. And by yourself, you're forced to deal with you. And it said, maybe it's me. Maybe it's me. And all of a sudden, the egg cracked. Like when you crack that freaking egg, it's like, oh my, you can't seal it back. You can't, but this stuff is goo, is geeking all over the place. And then all of a sudden you realize, wait a minute, man. This is me. This is me. Why am I blaming her and them for all my problems, all my issues, all my stuff? And then I realized if I got rid of her, you get with another one, it's the same shit. Because if you didn't fix the problem, she just turns into the other one that left. And then I realized I needed to change. And I said, something is wrong. Like the fact that my kids don't want to be around me, the fact that my wife doesn't like me. And here I am, a successful man. I'm successful. I'm famous. And everything. Hollywood doesn't care if you lose your family. They just don't care. You know what I mean? They just like,
hey, you
know.
Way to put it.
Hollywood's like, oh, he lost his family. You know, that's a little blurb on it. But he got another movie. Yeah. You know, I was like, I started to realize, because I went through this, you know, you go through the NFL and you start to realize it's a lot of bullshit because no one really cares about, you know, you learn, oh, I won the Super Bowl, and then you got to start all over again. Like, in 6 months, you got to, like, it was over, you know?
Like, clearly, like, manager, like, people with the big money, they all see the interchangeability of loyalty or whatever, like you were talking about earlier. At what level does it sort of stop at in terms of people not buying the bullshit? Like, does it extend up to coaches? Does it extend? And the reason why I ask is because as what you were talking about, like the culture, the cult of masculinity and how that has to continue to be perpetuated in order, at least under their rules, for you guys to perform your best.
Right.
So how far does it seep up? Is there like a subconscious like idea of how NFL players, maybe it's not subconscious, but how you're supposed to behave as men and what that means, and that if that means like fuck a bunch of women, if that means like get pissed off at like some dude who's not showing you whatever or like pissed off at people who are better players or the new rookie, or I have no idea because that's never been a world of mine. But
think about this. Sometimes it doesn't end. Like the perfect example is even this Facebook killer guy. You know what I mean? He's like, hey, man, look at this woman who broke my heart and I'm going to kill somebody, you know, and then just to hurt her.
Right.
It's a control move. It's OJ. It's Aaron Hernandez. It's all these things. I know so many players that killed themselves. You don't know. I mean, it's a lot of guys who weren't famous, but they were players who could not handle being. See, I'm being real. This is the deal. What happens is when you are a superstar in whatever you're in as a man, this is what the problem with men and with pride is that you have an image to uphold. But the problem is you know that's bullshit. you know it's not real. But you got to hold the image up.
Yeah.
And what happens is sooner or later, it's like putting everything up on stilts, and it just gets heavier and heavier, and the stuff just starts to break and fall. I thought it was falling for me. Like when my wife is like, I'm out, it was like the stilts started to break. And I was like, oh my God. But then you tend to blame everybody else. When everything falls down, you're like, it's you. In fact, I'm going to kill somebody because it's them. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This masculinity thing, sometimes it never ends. It happens in the military. It happens in successful businesses.
Oh, yeah.
Look at O'Reilly right now. You know what I'm saying? He's so successful, but all of a sudden, his shit came back to get him.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, I woke up this morning. This wasn't my first thought, but it was maybe my third or fourth, thinking about how men must have much more powerful orgasms than women. And I was like, it occurred to me. I was like, and it bummed me out.
Because, this is true, though. That's a very true fact.
It must be. There's no way I can know. But listen, like, whatever.
My worst time was absolutely amazing.
But because truly, what you're talking about, pride, and in a massive factor in that pride is the getting capturing a sexual partner.
Yes.
And like, that's why you want to earn money. That's why you want stature. That's why you want like a fucking Lamborghini or whatever.
Yep.
Like, and every single, and I was just thinking, man, that sucks for me because I'm a woman and I will never understand the orgasm that has driven like humankind into like the hellfires.
Yeah,
well, appreciate it.
But again, I mean, I'm sorry, but you know, this is a good thing. I'm 49. I've lived long enough to see people go through that whole stage of, oh, yeah, I got the chicks, I got and it all plays out. It all plays out.
And how does it, what happens?
Well, the thing is that people, you got to understand, you know, sex for a man is an attempt to get intimacy. Intimacy is what he's looking for. And what's happened is a lot of times they replace it with sex, okay? What you want and what every man wants, now they won't admit it, but what every man wants is a woman to see him and know everything about him.
Really?
And love him. You got to understand this.
I love what you just said.
I'm just trying to tell you, but they don't know. What happens is they're scared.
Uh-huh.
Because what happens, you have a lot of power. Women have so much power because it hurts their pride. Everything affects their pride. If you look at them and you see something you don't like, it hurts. It hurts. This is why I'm telling you, if my wife told me that she was disappointed in me, it feels like someone, I would rather get punched in the face. Most guys would rather have a guy come over and punch him in the face. Oh, yeah, you know what? I can deal with you. That's good. But they can't deal if their girl is disappointed in them.
Yeah.
That's something they can't handle because... And again, it goes back to mom issues. It goes back to all this stuff. But that's what they're looking for. So they try to replace it with sex. And you can't. You can't. The problem is all the sex in the world will never give you intimacy because what you're looking for is someone who knows all your shit and loves you. But if you never show them all your stuff, they don't even have a chance to love you. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, but it's also terrifying.
It's terrifying.
I have to open up myself to the people that I love.
Right. And the thing is, you don't want to open yourself up to somebody who's going to break your heart or whatever. So a lot of guys just have a lot of sex and they just keep doing it and keep going and keep going until finally one day they have to commit. They have to. You got to find somebody who can trust, you can trust with your heart. And sometimes they give it up to the wrong woman just because they're at that stage where they realize the sex is not satisfying. It's not gonna fill this hole. It's not gonna do it. And let me tell you, and this is where I feel like I'm one of the most amazingly blessed people in the world. I mean, more than everything that's happened, all the great, wonderful things that's happened to me, the fact that my wife knows all my dirt, and
damn.
I mean all of it.
Damn.
And she said, I love you anyway.
That's unbelievable.
When I tell you, it's beyond sex. This is the thing. It reaches a point where you're reached the point where, wow, this is beyond what we're talking about. All this physical stuff,
especially,
it's a spiritual thing now, you know?
And in this industry, for somebody to, yeah, because we play characters all the time.
Yep.
And for somebody to have that comfort of somebody knowing the self that's sometimes boring, that's like, that's grunts in response. Not, I don't grunt, Terry, but no, I totally do. But especially in this industry, it's really important to have a team member, someone who you really feel like is part of your team, that gets the inside joke, that understands that the sort of like the time and the place of things, and in right, like,
you know, let me tell you, it's funny because when I would, my wife and I would have arguments, she was always scared I would leave her. You know what I mean?
Like, I do.
You're just gonna run off, and she would feel that way. And when she would argue with me, I was always scared that she would attack what she saw, like any of the truth or any of those kind of things.
Right.
So that I would. This is why guys run away. You know what I mean? On any kind of argument, they don't want to hear it because we're super vulnerable. But what happened was, over the years, we started to realize, wow, you know what? And then I started to realize, tell me what you don't like. And we started practicing.
Wow.
Because you got to practice it. Like, tell me what I need to hear. And then I had to say, I'm not going to run away. I'm not going to leave when you tell me what I need to hear. And what happens is, over time, we began to be able to be more honest and more pure, more real. Because let me tell you, I'll put it out there. I've said this before. Over the years, I had an addiction to pornography, which affected the way I saw everything.
Like how?
Well, the thing is that, and a lot of people say, well, you can't be addicted to porn. It's not, I mean, it's not as natural. Whatever. Look, man, if you can't stop, it's called an addiction. I don't know what to say. Like, it was a thing where I would say, I'm never going to do that again. And boy, that was 5 minutes later, and I'm looking again. And I'm like, I can't stop this. And what I found, that it was because I was hiding. I never even showed my wife didn't know for years. But I was hiding the real me. Like, I was hiding a lot of pain, a lot of things, because I had this image. But then I would act out with porn. And the thing is, what changed my life is when it all came out. And she was just like, my God, why didn't you tell me?
Yeah.
And I was like, you wanted to know? Like, you don't hate me? You got to know. I'm getting choked up. But it's like, you don't. Because I thought if she found out, she would, like, forever, like, I don't want anything to do with you. That's disgusting. You're nasty.
No, she's probably like, let me in.
Listen to me, man. And I was like, holy cow. You see all my dirt and you love me anyway?
Because you know what? But like, all women, we're complicated. Like, we get turned on by shit that men don't know.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Like, everybody's got their own thing.
Yeah. We're supposed to stick to a certain, like, script, but we don't, because we're human. Our imaginations wander. Like, we, you know, so I think that, you know, we've, anyway, point but, being, though, that, like, we don't, there's not enough dialogue.
Right.
Between.
Right. Well, but the thing was, is that it became this way and became a problem because I wasn't sharing it. And so I share it all the time now. You know what I mean? And it's not an issue. What's so crazy is that people are like, when you take away the stigma of something, it instantly, it's like people are like, yeah, you know what? I had that issue too, man. When you said it,
yeah,
I was like, dude, they're like, you were like this masculine dude, you're Old Spice, you're all this dude. And then all of a sudden you said something like this. And I was like, it broke something in my life with my girl. You know what I'm saying?
But Terry, what advice would you give to our listeners? You know, a lot of men love porn and it's a part of their daily life. But what advice would you give to somebody who maybe wants to quit or whose boyfriend is maybe what do you think?
Let me tell you. And first of all, there are a lot of guys who are like, hey, my girl sees nothing wrong with it. And then I get thousands of letters from women who got major problems with it. You know what I mean? Because this is the deal. It's objectification, period. You cannot, it's not, it, you lose the humanity. And I don't care where people stand on it, but a perfect example is when I was in the pros, the big thing was going to the strip club. And all the guys would go to the strip club, and I remember young rookie, I'm hanging out, I go in there with them and the whole thing. But as soon as the chicks start talking about, I got bills and I got kids, like, hey, stop. No, you're ruining it.
You're ruining it.
You know why? Because she's becoming a human right before your eyes.
Right.
She's a human being. And you don't want to see humans. I just want you to turn around and back it up and make it pop and all that. You know, I mean, because that's an object. You're less than human. And let me tell you, that affects everything. Everything. When you can treat people less than human, you have a problem. That's the problem. And you see nothing wrong with that. And all I'm saying is, again, it doesn't matter where people stand on porn, because a lot of people say, well, women, I'm into it too. And I'm in it. And I say, okay, cool. But objectification is a problem. And when I see, and I knew for me, even for me, when you realize people, human beings are not objects to be used, they are people to be loved. And if you gotta put love in there, you understand what I mean? If you can't put love in there, you got to get it out. You got to get rid of it. Okay? And that's what my example for anybody, any guy out there and the whole thing. If you can keep love in it, then you're fine. But soon as your significant other, you don't care what she feels. You don't care what she's thinking. You don't care how she feels about something. And that's always been a male problem, because what happens is guys just turn off. Let me tell you something. When they say no means no, a guy who's been watching porn a lot doesn't hear no means yes. Mm-hmm. You understand what I mean? It starts to change your brain. You don't. And this is where you can't. My thing is, we're looking at effects, but you got to look at causes. You know what I mean? Cause and effect. It goes hand in hand. You put the wrong things in your head, eventually they come out. You know what I'm saying? And I knew, and this is what was coming out on me. And I remember not even caring about how my wife felt.
I feel like with women too, there's a lot of fear when your man watches a lot of porn because, well, first of all, there is the notion that we're supposed to be cool with it because we're supposed to be cool girls. But beyond that too, there's the fear of like, does my man want this as opposed to me? And the idea, I guess, does he want bigger adventures? Like, at least that's my perspective. And I don't know, like, I don't.
But you know what? And the thing is you're right. You, those questions are real. And what happens is a guy who is into it, you can't, there's never going to be enough that's going to satisfy him. It just doesn't. Like, it doesn't stop.
Right.
You understand what I mean?
Right, yeah,
like,
yeah.
You say, oh, man, little titties. Oh, big titties. Big butts, little butts. I'm sorry. Because whatever you're into, it does not end.
Itsy tiny elbows.
You know what I mean? You're like, oh, man, those armpits. And I'm trying to tell you because now this is the thing. And the real deal is that your girl is never going to be able to fulfill everything.
Yeah.
Yes. And you know, and I got a perfect example of this. I got a perfect example. And this is a flip. I had to flip a lot of guys out with this. If you came home and you found a canceled check from another guy in your wife's purse, it's just sitting out there. And you was like, hey, babe, where you get this money from? Oh, no. You know what? Okay. You know, I needed a loan and I went to Jimmy and he gave me a loan real quick. You're like, what? Why didn't you ask me for the money? I can give you the money. Oh, no, it's okay. I just knew you were busy. But then you keep finding checks. And the guy's like, wait a minute. I should be the one you get your money from. Like, I'm the guy. But she doesn't want. She's like, I need more than you. I need Jimmy's money. And I need Jack's money. And I need Franco's money.
Feels good to use a lot of different banks.
You know, and you got to just understand. Because, you know, women, we need money.
Yeah.
And all of us, and this is what the way we flip this on girls is like, you know, hey, man, you know, guy's going to be a guy. So we just need more.
You gotta
more.
Spread your seed. It's biological. But,
right, it's biological. You know, and the thing is that a guy sees it like that and they're like, hell no. Hell no, I'm getting rid of her instantly. But why is the flip not the same? Why all of a sudden you don't understand? You should understand the same thing. You should see a bunch of cancel checks from a bunch of guys. But you would never put up with that.
I love you.
Oh, thank you.
Terry Crews. You're magnificent.
I make a lot of guys uncomfortable. I'm so sorry.
You're bringing so much humanity.
But I was the big, but I did it. See, I don't like telling other people's story. I tell my story.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? I'm telling from both sides. You've been in jail. I'm telling you what jail's like. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but your story's like everyone's, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, this day and age, porn is across the board. And if you're not, if you're a woman who's not cool with it, you're uncool. You know,
he's got to hear you. If you tell him you're not cool with it and he don't hear you, that's a problem.
But you know what I mean? There's societal pressure now to be cool.
It's a problem. And right. And see, and women are talked in. And again, I just got to flip it. Like, you know, all the other women tell your guy, hey, you know what? He should listen. She needs some money from other people. It's okay. He's like, but it's not right.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, would it
it's
be
not right.
Terry, yeah, it would.
That's a movie right there. I'm trying to tell you.
Besides the check thing, it would be weird for you to like walk in on like your partner, like
it's weird.
Like touching yourself to somebody else.
Somebody else.
Men would have a massive hurdle with that.
Massive, massive.
Like deal breaker. Whereas,
yes.
And we're supposed to be conditioned to like be like, oh, whoopsie, sorry, honey, I'll leave you alone.
No.
And maybe I don't know. I don't have the answers. I don't know.
But think about it. If it bugs you, you should be able to say it.
Right. But then you also question like, well, why is this bugging me? Are these insecurities things that I can overcome? Are, you know, I don't want to live my life filled with like, you know what I mean? There has to be like an internal conversation, I think, right?
Yep. And let me tell you something. If he had a problem with you, he'd tell you.
Right.
He would.
I think.
No. Let me tell you, guys don't hide that stuff.
Like, what do you mean?
When I say, it's like, if they saw you flirting with somebody, or if they felt you were flirting, they'd be like, what was that? They wouldn't wait 5 minutes. They pull you to the side and hey Anna, what was that all about?
You don't think women wait?
Women would wait because
the car ride pressure, home.
Again, it's a patriarchal society. I'm trying to tell you, it's that masculinity thing. Because women tend to go, well, maybe I'm and let me tell you, and it's also fear, because women, they play on the fear.
Women are our own worst enemies. Like, we just tear each other down. I mean, we view, I don't know, each other some like as we're way too competitive.
Oh, there's a deep combo in it.
Yeah. But
it's so deep.
And it's unfortunate that that we view each other as a potential like threat to our relationship.
But see, but you know what? There's good news.
We shouldn't. Yeah, good news. Let's hear it.
There is good news. The good news is men are putting this patriarchal masculinity thing away.
You think?
Yeah. Oh, the fact that we can talk about it.
I think so too.
It's crazy. You can talk about this stuff 10 years ago. They would look at you like, what? But see, I compare it to abolition. Like abolitionists. Back in slavery, they said, please help us, please. And nobody was listening. They were like, wow, you know, why is this slave talking? You know what I mean? But when good white men and women stood up and said, this is wrong, all of a sudden they were like, maybe it is wrong.
There's a great Portlandia episode where Fred Armisen's character decides to become a feminist. He, like, recruits all his male friends. But along with what you're saying, of, like, taking the ownership over a movement and just, like, white abolitionists.
But
like,
it's real.
Aren't we proud of ourselves?
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
but the thing, you know what? But the thing is unless men talk,
right,
nothing's really going to change.
That's so true. Yeah.
It's just not going to change.
Yeah.
And it's got to be brought up. I mean, you know, this rape culture thing is real.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember going out with ball players and the girl was like, I don't like you. And they're like, bitch, come here. And they grab her arm. And you're like, whoa, hey, man, stop. And this dude is like 400 pounds. And imagine if she went home with the guy. I'm just trying to tell you. I've seen it. And I'm just, you know, when you see a guy who's like, you are my bitch, I deserve you because I got money, I deserve you because I'm a winner, I deserve you because I'm famous, shut up. That's bad. That needs to be addressed. It needs to be, we need to stop this now. Because now they realize once I get a daughter, no, I see it. It needs to go way before that. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, and I can't, I'm blown away that a man is saying these things. Terry, you're like.
I'm with you guys. I love you.
I can't. You're really, really enlightened. And it's such a relief to hear a man of your stature speak in this way about conflict between the gender and what we can do to improve upon it.
That's it.
And
it's good news, though. Like, yeah. I said, this is not a bad story. I'm talking about the past, but I'm seeing things change.
Yeah.
I'm watching it change. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm seeing, like, my son is not going to repeat this stuff.
Right.
You understand what I mean? Yep. It's like, he knows, because we talk about this stuff all the time. And I see my son's friends respecting
women more. That's so cool.
And it is, because that's what I'm like, man, we got to talk about the next generation. This stuff is changing. So I don't want it to be, it's not a bad story. This is not the end of the world. This is like, hey, we're getting better.
Listen, with you as our captain, yes, we are.
I'm glad you pointed that out. I mean, hearing this from Terry is, I don't know why, but it's just different.
Oh, completely. Well, and you're so, feel, Terry, it's so, just, you're right. So wise, Terry. And you have a ton of insight that's incredibly generous.
What he just said connected.
Yeah.
It totally connected.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. I'm glad you have the show.
And thank you for
Thank you for letting me.
Enlightening us.
You can't do this on Fallon. You can't do this on Fallon. You can't.
No, no, I know.
That's the beauty of the podcast.
I know. That's a bit of a downer for right before bed.
Yeah. You know? Well, we're right here in this creepy dining room. Do we want to take five or should we go?
We'll take five before the calls.
Okay, cool.
We might go a little over. Is that okay, Anna?
Oh, yeah.
Is that okay?
I'm sorry.
Is that
cool?
Yeah. Oh, no, I love it. Are you kidding?
I'm good.
Terry. This is amazing. No, we're really enjoying every second of this.
I was supposed to get to these other things, but you are giving a gift to me, to Sim, and to our listeners with your wisdom on this.
I got you. You're gonna get some calls about hate too. There's gonna be some haters.
No, there shouldn't be.
We will, but there shouldn't be.
Yeah.
I couldn't possibly imagine an argument against anything like those. Whatever. Okay, these are deal breakers.
Okay.
For a woman, imagine you're single.
Okay. Ooh, that's hard. It's been so long ago. I was seven.
Okay. She lets her dog eat off her plate while she eats off of it.
Deal breaker. Okay, go ahead.
Deal breaker?
Deal breaker. God, what?
I mean, I would
the
be
the dog eating off the plate the whole time. I'm so sorry. I mean, that's, you know, they've done scientific research. Everybody's like, the dog's mouth is cleaner than the human's mouth. No, it's not. It's filthy. It's absolutely, you're going to get some kind of strange Ebola-like disease.
I'm with you, not necessarily in terms of the germs, but I do feel like if you're on a date and somebody's letting, like, you know, their dog, like, eat off of their plate, it's almost like an aggressive move of territory with their dog.
Yeah.
It's almost like
do you like
that? That's right.
Yeah, just, it's a little bit like,
this better not gross you out.
Are you really wearing leather? you're gonna get into that. Yeah, I get you.
Okay, she takes you back to her apartment at the Oakwood. At the Oakwoods. You know the Oakwoods over
yes,
there?
Yes, yes.
Okay, it's apartment B 2104, and she believes that it's haunted.
That's a deal breaker.
Is it?
Yeah, that's a deal breaker.
Just because she believes it's haunted or because you don't want to mess with that?
No, yeah, I just think people who get into that stuff, you know, they're way too spooky. Way too spooky. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I got to tell you, I firmly don't. A lot of people believe in luck and all these other, you know, when it gets too mystical, I'm done. I'm like, because I work so freaking hard.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm sorry. A success is not an accident. You know what I mean? And people, you know what's funny? Because I get a lot of psychics. I'm like, I want to read you. Ooh, give me cards. I'm like, y'all, keep it. Because, you know, because they know famous people are very, very susceptible to that.
Yeah. But I'm with you.
You're haunted? No. You know what?
I'm so with you.
Okay, that's me.
Okay, she has a doll collection.
Oh, I'm with that. I like that. That's cool.
Yeah, why do you like it?
No, a doll collection. It's all good. I have a doll collection. I call them action figures. You know what I mean? I got these hot toy versions of like Star Wars, Stormtroopers.
I have a doll collection too.
Yes!
But I was imagining this woman as having like sort of rows of porcelain dolls.
Okay, the little scary ones.
Maybe. Maybe.
Okay.
And maybe some that's like.
I can feel the paper ripping on the deal. You know? It's like.
No, we didn't want to give it to you too easy.
Yeah, I know. I wouldn't say it's a deal breaker, but I would definitely ask her what that's about.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm getting it. I got little alien figures from movies.
It's an investment.
It's an investment because they get more valuable.
Uh huh. Yep. She's got a 3-bedroom apartment, but 2 of the bedrooms are all dolls. And
we can't go in there?
No, you can. She's going to show you around. But yeah, it's her investment plan. Instead of, she took her inheritance from a grandma and put it into dolls.
Not a deal breaker for me. I'm okay. You know what? You explain that.
You're like, as long as we get to the other bedroom.
You're kind of weird, and that's okay. Because I'm weird too. I can handle weird. Weird quirkiness is cute.
Absolutely.
It's actually the cutest thing about her, probably.
But don't you think that, would you have the heart to say, like, maybe you're not going to make your money back?
I would probably break that. You know, I would wait a little bit. And then that would come up a little bit later, definitely. Like, so how much are these worth?
Okay, she keeps her shirt on during sex. I feel guilty about putting this down because we've talked so much about porn.
I'm imagining I'm single. That's the thing.
Okay, but she keeps her shirt on during sex. This feels now like, what if she's had trauma? I'm sorry.
Right. See, but that, you got to go on.
I know.
Listen.
We didn't mean that. We meant like, you know, she's a little uncomfortable. She might have a good body, but she still feels insecure, but she decides to keep her shirt on.
First of all, I mean, even with my wife, however she's feeling, I respect that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whatever makes you comfortable. Listen, I'm going to get mine.
I knew you were going to be a hero on this.
No, it's not even a hero. It's not even a hero. Look, I told you, the worst sex I ever had was awesome. So, you know, if it's horrible, it's still good. I get mine. We always go, you know, 10 for 10. You know what I mean? And it's the woman that needs a lot more. You know what I mean? There's a lot more that needs to go on to make sure she has a great experience.
Does it ever, I'm sure you were exposed to a lot of women that maybe had, I don't know, but maybe had the tendency to not brag, but display their knowledge of football, trying to impress.
Yeah.
And Sim and I have had conversations about this because I know nothing about football, but I want to, and I'm always embarrassed. But Sim told me, which was sort of a revelation for me, that a lot of men actually like it if you don't know a lot and you ask questions because then you get to educate and that's fun. Whereas I think my line of thought was always like, man, if I'd be cooler if I knew more about this stuff.
Yeah, you know what? There is a big time satisfaction that a guy has in explaining it.
Yeah, exactly.
And whatever it is.
You know? I'm so like, happy.
Let me
that
show
I
you how this carburetor works, girl. You know, it's kind of, I wouldn't tell a woman to play dumb. But I definitely, you know, there's times when I was like, honey, please let me explain it to you, even if you know it.
See, I think that I need to hear that because I feel the pressure to be like, or at least I won't speak up because I'm too embarrassed.
No, she's very, very cool because she knows sometimes, like, I already know you want to tell me. So, you know, thank you so much. You know, but we're like, listen, it's like a 5-year-old. And you ever see two, and I got kids. So when you get 5-year-old boys playing together and all of a sudden a girl walks in, they're flipping around the room, they're jumping all, they were sitting down watching whatever. But now it becomes, let me show you what I could do. You know, I can get on the trampoline.
Oh my God, I can't wait.
This happens at 30. You know what I mean? This is what guys are doing. Let me show you what I want to do. Let me show you how good I am at this. And it's all a different version of a 5-year-old boy.
Oh, man. Oh, my God. I feel like I might be doomed, but at least now I know the recipe.
You're good.
Honey, what is this big yellow car? Get under the hood.
No, you're going to win with that one. That's a winner. He's like, I love you.
I guess it's easier than I think it is sometimes, isn't it?
We're simple. We're very, very simple. Not, it ain't complex on the male side. It's just not.
Yep, that's what I was telling you before.
I know, but does it come down to like safety, security, and I don't know, and like you were talking about intimacy,
which
is sort of safety and security, right?
Nothing like, makes a guy again when he knows that you know all about him and you love him anyway. Like, holy cow, that's right. That's the connect. That's the satisfying thing. He'll do anything for you. It's just real.
That's amazing.
So we like to have games every once in a while. Every now and again, we like to have games with Anna because Anna is so bad at this game. Her record, I think, is 1-9. She's only won once. And I have a feeling, again, that she's going to lose again. But you know what I love about this? Because She's so adorable when she loses, too. And she really tries.
Oh, this might be a first, though. You might win on this one.
Adorable. Sim, you're adorable, too, when you create these games.
So this is a game we're going to play. It's called Real Housewife or NFL Player. It's very simple. You know, so both have been known to spend extravagantly. So I'm going to read a reported extravagance, and you both will buzz in and tell me if it happened to a real housewife or an NFL player. We have buzzers right there. We have that Russian nesting doll, which you can shake, and we have the Santa Claus little squeaky toy. Terry, you can decide which one you want.
Which one do you want?
I feel like you should go with the Russian doll because this one is lousy.
This is the sound you'll hear.
Yeah, there
you
go. Lousy.
Perfect. So let's start right now.
Oh, they are? Oh, okay. Oh,
they can come in and watch. Yeah. Have them come in and watch. Yeah. Yeah, just have them come in. We'll be in the middle. Yeah, it's perfect.
Husband's families. We had Chris's premiere last night for Guardians 2.
Oh, yeah.
So my husband's family is here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, no, they're coming over for barbecue. Chris is doing press. He'll be back in a few minutes.
I don't mind at all. I'm good.
Thank you.
It sounds good. First question. This person spent $5,000 a week at the Cheesecake Factory. Is it a real housewife or an NFL player?
NFL player.
Do you know who it is?
Some lineman.
What?
It wasn't a lineman. It was actually Vince Young.
It was Vince Young.
Vince Young loved the Cheesecake Factory.
I knew that's a ball.
Oh man, I was so gonna go Real Housewife because I thought it played against stereotype.
Oh no.
No,
that's a ball player right there.
Man.
Second question. This person bought a $25,000 pair of diamond and gold encrusted sunglasses. Anna.
NFL player.
Nope. It was actually a Real Housewife of Beverly Hills, Dana Wilkie.
Oh.
That's not even a Real Housewife.
That sounds like a ball player. You almost had it.
Dana is a Real Housewife of Beverly Hills.
From where? Oh, Beverly Hills?
Beverly Hills, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sorry, Dana. Please come on our podcast sometime. Bring your sunglasses.
The score is still 1-0 and 1-0 Terry. Third question. This person had an Arabian Nights themed 30th birthday party where he or she rode out on a camel and also had a 3-foot purple and gold Taj Mahal cake. Terry.
That is a Real Housewife.
Incorrect.
Oh.
Whoa.
The camel got me.
It's actually an
Aaron
NFL
Rogers.
Player. No, it wasn't Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, wait. Tom Brady.
Wasn't Tom Brady
either.
Oh,
wait.
Beast Mode.
It wasn't Beast Mode.
Marshawn Lynch.
No. It wasn't.
Yeah.
No, it was actually, same position. It was Adrian Peterson.
Oh, my God.
AP.
He had a camel.
He rode it on a camel.
This is my family.
And, Chris's family is here.
Yes. You guys.
Come on in. Come on, everyone.
How are you doing?
This is Terry Crews.
Everyone meet Terry Crews.
What's up? How you doing?
How you doing?
All right. Good to see you. Was the movie good?
The movie was
I can't wait to see it. Oh, there you go. How you doing?
Right now, the score is 1-0, Terry. The fourth question.
Here we go.
This person owns 2 private jets, 1 for international and 1 for domestic travel. Terry.
NFL player.
It's not an NFL player.
No! They're pretty stupid to do that.
It's actually Real Housewife of Beverly Hills, Erica Gerard.
Well, whoa. You didn't even let me guess.
Well, it doesn't matter. You know what? It's the game is either NFL player. It doesn't.
I was gonna.
Were you gonna guess who it was?
Yeah.
Did you know it was Erica?
No, I was gonna guess Lisa Vanderpump.
Oh, okay.
It but wasn't at least Lisa. I was
oh yeah, the Vanders.
Warm. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay.
He's a go. Dick.
This person owns a 20,000 square foot, $16 million mansion, complete with a champagne room, luggage room, and a beauty salon.
That's an NFL player.
It's
gotta
not
be.
An NFL player.
No, it's a champagne room. A damn champagne room. What wife has a champagne
Lisa
room?
Lisa Vanderpump. Lisa Vanderpump.
It's not Lisa Vanderpump. It is Heather Dubrow from the OC.
I know. I know her? I met her one time. They got one.
I think we're talking about two different champagne rooms. I think your champagne room is like the strip club champagne
right,
room.
Right.
I think she means like an actual
like
room.
Wine
like
cellar.
A wine cellar no. champagne.
See, if you said wine cellar, you got me with that one. That was a tricky question.
My mind did not go there at all.
Okay.
Wait, what happens in the champagne?
Oh, what happens? What doesn't happen in the champagne?
Chris Rock had a whole video that went.
Is there actually champagne?
Yes, it's a special private room in the back where, like, you can get lap dances, and then if you want like special lap dances, you go into the champagne room where you're going to be spending a lot of money.
Yeah, and then there's like hook a hose in and spray it down after the champagne. It's really bad. Really.
Amazing.
Champagne room cleaner is a horrible position. I'm sorry, there are children here. I'm so sorry.
This person had an $85,000 fish pond installed in his house.
Oh, his.
Oh, shit. Sorry.
Oh!
I messed up the question.
Yeah, the lady's got the details.
Okay. What is it?
Well, it's got to be an NFL
player.
Player.
Do you know who it is by chance, though?
All right. Is he a quarterback?
He is a quarterback. Was a quarterback, I should say.
Was a quarterback.
Ooh.
Well, meaning he's retired. Well, he's not playing anymore.
East Coast,
meaning where did he play? He played on the East Coast, definitely.
That sounds like he played on both coasts.
Marina?
Controversial player for his off-the-field activity.
Kaepernick.
No, I should say real scumbag for his off-the-field.
Ooh,
O.J. Quarterback? Simpson?
No, but scumbag, not in the... No, real ass... Real. Okay, he's a bad person.
Did he like dogs?
He did not like dogs.
And he was a quarterback.
That should give it away right there.
Oh, you're talking about Michael Vick.
Michael Vick.
You know why that's where I was going, but I couldn't remember the name.
Mike Vick, yes. Oh, wow.
Shit. Okay. Man, that was so close. You almost
got it, but you did tie the score. It's 1-1 now.
Okay. This is the first win ever.
Last question, and whoever gets this right wins the game. This person paid $30,000 cash for a tiger cub.
NFL player.
Yeah! That's correct. And Anna loses again.
Yes.
It was Arizona Cardinals defensive end Darnell Dockett.
Oh.
I wouldn't know.
But how did you know?
That's an NFL player thing to do. Tigers.
To buy a baby
alligators.
Tiger.
They do all that. And they have it on a little leash. Like, yeah, that's my alligator right here. You know, it's real. In the pool. It's kind of crazy. It's so ridiculous. And that's a total NFL player thing to do.
So...
Oh my God.
Terry wins. I'm sorry, your record is now 1-9.
But it was the best loss of my life.
It was fun.
We do have two calls.
Should we take a 5-minute break, do our two calls, and then we're done for
the
good.
Yeah, yeah.
Excellent.
Okay.
Terry, you're unbelievable.
Oh, this is fun.
We're recording now.
Oh, you want it closed?
Close, please.
Oh, this is Sim's endearingly anal qualities. my family's here because Chris's premiere was last night.
Do you want to introduce everyone that's here? There's a bunch of people here.
We've got Angie, Scott, Tristan, Logan, Mindy. Who else do we have? Brandy, Cully, Trevor, Mindy.
A lot of people here.
Yeah, anyway.
All right, so should we get to the calls right away?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we call, as I think you know, we call people who have submitted questions. I don't really know what's gonna happen here.
Ruh-roh.
I know.
But I'm ready. I'm ready.
But we try to give heartfelt, unqualified advice as best we can.
Okay.
As best we can. We have really lovely people that listen, and Anyway.
So we're going to call Jacqueline first. And Jacqueline, she's in Illinois, and she is 22.
Okay.
Hello?
Hey, Jacqueline, it's Sim. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Doing really well. I'm going to introduce you to Anna right now.
Hi, Jacqueline.
Hi, Anna.
How are you? Wait, you just answered that. I hate it when I do that. I always do that. I ask. I'm sorry, Jacqueline. Yes, you just said you were good. And I'm good, too. Terry Crews is here, and he's just unbelievable.
I can't wait until you hear this episode back. Yeah.
Hello, hello.
I'm so excited.
How you doing?
I'm better now.
All right.
So, Jacqueline, what happened with this guy you met online?
Okay, so I met a guy on Bumble, and we were talking, and he was a stand-up comedian. So he invited me to come see one of his shows, and I did. And then afterwards, we like went out to drinks. We had a really good time. He was really fun. And then, I mean, it was like a Tuesday night, so the bars closed relatively early. So we decided to go back to his place. And yeah, we just had a really good time. So one thing led to another, and we ended up hooking up. So I stayed the night, and the next morning I went home, and he like immediately texted me when I was in my lift, just like saying thanks and everything, and like he hoped to see me again. So he's like a comedian, and he was going out of the country to do stand up, and he was going to be like really busy for the next like couple weeks doing shows all over the place. And at first he was like pretty good about texting me. We kept in contact, and it's like kind of waned off a little bit, and now I feel like I'm reaching out to him more. So I don't know if this is like normal or if maybe like I shouldn't have.
What was like, your big concern though? Your big concern was that you were afraid that you slept with him too quickly, right?
Exactly. So I'm like, did I just do that? And now he's just like lost interest because like there's nothing more to come from.
Tapped
it.
Into like the question that at least all women have, maybe men have it, but yes, you're right, Terry?
I just, you know, that's a big one. That's a big mistake. I think, because let me tell you, and you know what? We all make mistakes, but for guys, and I'm speaking as a guy, there is the thrill of the chase. There is something about making a man earn his keep. There's, and I have to say what's happened though. Yeah. And this is one thing about the kind of kid of the man of today is because he really doesn't have to grow up a lot of times. You know what I mean? I mean, because I have to tell you, society as a whole has gotten a whole lot easier than it used to be. I mean, before, you know, to get a salad, you had to work like 12 hours for a salad. You know what I mean? And now you just press a button. It's on an app. It's right there. And what happens is men are bored. And what happens is if it's everything comes too easy, you just don't.
Right. I mean, listen, I hear you. But how are we supposed to grapple as a gender with the idea of being, you know, sexually free, being able to make the choices that we want to make in the moment, and then feel like, man, does that person not like me because I slept with them in their eyes too soon? I was too easy of a get.
Well, you know what I mean? The question I have to ask is that did you do it for him? Or did you do it for you? See, that's the big question. A lot of women feel that they have to have sex right out for him.
Yeah, but it's also fun. In the moment, you're a little like warm from the alcohol, like you're having a good time.
It's true. But again, it goes deeper. It does go deeper. You can have a fun time and cuddle.
You're
gonna have a good time, and you know that's enough. You know, like we're gonna neck for a while, and we're just gonna kiss, and everything, and then I'll see you next time.
Yeah.
But when you gotta understand, if you feel pressure to do it, that's the question. Like, did you feel pressured to do that, or was it like, all right, you know what, this is something I want. It's all me, and you know, I'm good.
I feel like, so yeah, we definitely had like more than a couple drinks, and it was just really fun. And yeah, I think it just kind of happened. So I don't feel like I felt like pressure from him that I like needed to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It felt right, I guess, at that moment.
Did you want it to continue?
Yeah, I mean, she, yes. I think, I mean, sorry, Jacqueline, I don't need to put words in your mouth. Yeah. I'm like, yes, I am her. No, but sorry, I don't mean to, I'm gonna attempt to shut up for a second here.
But then that's.
No, you're fine.
But that's the risk. That's the risk that comes with that.
The risk of opening yourself up.
It is.
It's like, it's a little bit.
Because he might be like.
Rejection and hurt. And he's also, he's a stand-up, so, and he's on the road, like, he doesn't have the right ingredients to be a like stellar boyfriend at this moment. So
I think you're right.
Terry, you know I love it when you say that. You say that like four times in a row.
I think you're right.
Go on. I think that it's, they're incredibly magnetic people, but I think, you know, transient and like a lot of the stand-ups I know are some of the smartest people I know, but also some of the most troubled.
But this isn't about being a stand-up, though.
No, but it is about her attraction to a stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? What do you think, Sim? You've been quiet. Look like you have an opinion, you old grump. Look at him. He's so grumpy right now. It's
no,
amazing.
I'm not grumpy.
Oh, he totally is.
Do I really look grumpy?
No, you just have like a little bit, like a lemon.
I'm with Terry on this. You know, it's the first night. It's just too soon.
Really?
I've never been in a long term relationship with anyone I've ever slept with. The
Holy
first time I met
shit,
them.
Shit! Seriously?
Never.
Yep.
Really?
Let me tell you, my wife. I've been married 28 years, but she made me wait a long time.
I kind of feel like this is how all of my relationships have started.
Well, you know, again, I'm not saying it's impossible. I mean, I'm saying it's definitely, you know, but it does set you up if you don't know who you're sleeping with.
Okay, so let's say you're out on a date with a great gal. She says, you know, she doesn't want to come back to your place. Let's hang out another time. Like, how do you? But what if you're not that interested because she won't sleep with you? So, you know what I mean? Like, we have pressure to keep men intrigued to...
But see, it should never be pressure, ever. It should never, ever be pressure at
what
all.
You get what I'm saying, though. You're really digging... Well, I'm you know, really digging somebody, and they seem like they're into me. It's in the moment. You know, whatever, we sleep together. Like, how can I sort of reshape it so I could, like, be still of interest? And, or, like, what if that person would have completely lost interest in me if I hadn't slept? I guess that indicates
a fucked
up person.
Think about this. I'm going to flip this. Ugh. This is a little bit
all
of
right,
a weird
right.
flip here.
I love
Uh-oh,
it. I
watch
love it.
This.
Give me a cruise
watch
flip.
Watch this. Here comes the cruise flip. What if she's using sex to control him? That's
Jacqueline,
another thing.
Do you think you're using sex to control him? This is Terry's theory.
No.
I
don't know. I mean, it just like, it felt like it was like a, I don't know. It just felt like this, I don't know. Now that you say that, I'm like kind of concerned if that's what I was doing.
But again, you see, listen, we don't know why we do the things we do. Because sometimes they say, you know, I remember having relationships even before I was married where these girls tried to, you know, a girl tried to whip it on me and had me like, oh my God, I got to come back. And it was a thing where she could play me. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
And that's the other side where a guy is kind of wondering.
That's rare.
You know what I mean? It happened to me.
Well, you are also an NFL player. Yes,
yeah,
I'm sure.
But I was like, I
got to
come back. I got
to
come back. You know, because, you know, you're like, I'll never get anything like that again.
That must be magical. What does that woman do?
You feel hooked. I mean, it's just like the fantasy, the dream, the flips, the you know, whatever you want.
I love that you're not going into too much detail.
Yeah, out of respect for the wife I have now. but what I'm saying is, you know, and again, I was young, super impressionable, very, very young. I mean, you know, and it was like, I hadn't had a lot. So the whole thing is, I can whip it on him And it makes you feel like, I gotta come back. I gotta have this.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, women know what they're doing. They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
They're very smart.
Yeah.
They know when they can whip it.
Well, yes, but also I think that we're also pretty vulnerable in like when we do sort of allow somebody into our lives, into our bodies, how maybe we made that. Oh,
uh-oh.
My sweet, sweet
Jack
child.
Just walked in.
Oh, earmuffs.
Hi, honey.
Earmuffs.
I know. As a man enters a woman's body.
Well, let's talk about how he got here.
Jacqueline, I'm so sorry. Hi, darling.
Sorry, Jacqueline. Give us a second.
No, it's great.
Hi. Jack, can you say hi to Terry?
Hi, sir. How you doing? Nice to see you.
Cousins are here.
I like your shoes. Those sneakers.
Jack,
thank you.
Thank
you.
We'll be right in, okay?
What should Jacqueline do? She wants to know if she should continue to text this guy.
No.
No, right?
I agree.
I agree.
You are right.
Thanks, Terry.
She does.
I love it. This is... I love it when you say that.
I'm done.
I think that you can't. If he starts to pursue you, then that's a different phone call.
Right.
But as of now, I think he's making it clear where you stand. And, you know, it's like we don't listen enough to the communication that's not, you know, vocalized or text or whatever.
Right.
It's the lack of that we should be listening to.
Yep.
And and so I think for for the sake of like protecting your heart and protecting like your mental space, I would resist the temptation to reach out to him.
Yeah.
But like I said, you know, if he comes back and is, you know, is texting you more than like just a what's up. I hate that I hate that hookup, right? It's so gross.
Ooh.
What's up? What are you up to? Fuck you.
Ooh.
That's, tell you what
that's
I'm up
booty
to.
Call talk.
I'm wondering why I slept with you.
You know it is. Like, especially if it's like 2 a.m. You know, like, what's up? You know, oh, no. Do not answer that. Not at all.
Jacqueline, are you okay with this advice?
I am.
Sorry?
Before I go to Anna, I just have to tell you, The House Bunny is still like one of my favorite movies, and my friends and I still do like the Exorcist voice you did in it, and we love you.
Okay, then you got to give me a little voice. Jacqueline, say like, I will try to not sleep with the stand-up.
In the voice.
In the voice.
In the Exorcist voice?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Okay, I'm losing my voice anyway. Okay. This is going to be rough, but I'll try it. Okay. I will not sleep with him anymore.
Okay, let me see if I can do it.
I will not sleep with the stand-up anymore.
it's scary in here now.
Terry, you want to try it?
No, that's too scary. It's like,
oh, come on.
I will not sleep with the stand-up anymore.
See, come naturally
good,
to you. You know why it's not funny? It's because it's good.
Yeah.
Jacqueline, thank you.
Oh, thank you.
I love you. And please give your house bunny friends my love too. And I totally know the appeal of a stand up. I'm so, like, I don't mean to sound, but I just don't think you should fuck him too much. Okay. That's my unqualified advice.
Thanks, Jacqueline.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye, Jacqueline.
Can we do one quick call and then we'll wrap it up real quick?
Oh, yeah. 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 Oh, I forgot. Wow. Terry, you're unbelievable.
Listen, thank you. I never get to talk like this. This is really great.
You really are. So you really aren't going to tell me though what it feels like to slam against another person with all of your might?
It's actually pretty blissful when you get knocked out.
But like I was saying though, in the pain, is there anger? Is that the first?
It's ferocious anger.
And how do you react like with your teammates? Because all we see on the field is like you guys sort of encouraging each other as teammates, or like hitting each other like the back of the helmet, which always looks incredibly painful to me. But
you see when with the chest beat,
yeah,
it's a very, very visceral primal feeling.
Does that make you feel better though when your teammates have your back and you can yell at somebody? Like, I'm just wondering how like that anger eventually dissipates.
Let me tell you, it's all emotion. You can't play without emotion. That's the whole thing. But what the problem is with anger is that anger never stops. You see what I mean? This is why there's a lot of NFL players that beat their wives when they come home. It doesn't quit. You can't turn it off. It's wild because you have to find ways for someone else to come in and tell you when it's too much. And
that's where the NFL provides no training.
Right. Exactly. Because they need you to be angry.
Right.
To play.
Right.
And when you're not angry anymore, you're too calm. It's too chill. And,
yeah.
A chill player is not an NFL player. You understand what I mean? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I hear you. That's a good question too, boy.
Thank you.
Oh, I like it.
This is my most favorite podcast.
I'm having so much fun right now. I love this. I don't want this to end.
Terry, will you meet my mommy? This is my mama Kathy. She's my mother-in-law.
Oh, it's good to see you. I heard the movie's amazing.
It's so good.
It really is incredible.
My boy Stallone was there yesterday, too.
Yeah, he was there.
Yeah, Sly was there, the whole thing.
We've been talking a long time about this movie.
Oh, so good.
Yes, dear listeners.
Chris is amazing.
Anna and I had the pleasure of going to the premiere of Guardians of the Galaxy last night, and I have to tell you, the movie is it's beyond. Really,
well, the first one was a beast.
The first one was amazing. This one is better. I don't know how you top the first one.
Oh, so good. I can't wait to see
it's
it.
It's really,
yeah, really is.
It feels like you're at Six Flags.
Yeah.
It really does. It gives you as a buoyancy that it's hard to describe.
Oh,
it's
my
really
God.
Fun.
I'm glad that I heard that James Gunn's going to do
third
one too.
Yeah.
Yes, I heard that announcement. And I heard there's tons of stuff after the trailer.
Yes.
Yes.
See, that's what I heard. I'm a fan. I'm trying to tell you.
Yes.
I'm all in.
Yeah.
I'm staying all the way past the
crowd. Right, exactly.
Okay.
Last call. We're going to call. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Okay. No, I want Terry to be a superhero. I want Terry.
We'll see.
Yeah,
we'll
should be.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. I believe it. I want to create a franchise just for you.
My first movie was with Michael Rooker.
Oh, really?
First movie
really?
I ever did. It's called The Sixth Day. And I love Michael. Michael taught me. He taught me where to stand. He taught me how to act. He's great. He's a beast.
He is a beast.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. I go on and on. That's next question.
All right, we're going to call Alyssa now. Alyssa, she's 27 and she's in New York. And we're going to help her. She's having some problems with her brother.
Hello.
Hey, Alyssa.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Alyssa. It's Anna and it's Sim.
It's okay. It's
Hi,
fine.
Anna.
She's so excited to talk.
Hi, you're also here with Terry Crews.
Hello.
Hi, Terry.
How you doing?
Good, good. I'm so excited to be talking to you guys. I'm such big fans.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, thanks. Well, thanks for letting us attempt to give you horrible advice.
Please don't sue us. Don't sue us.
Alyssa, what's bothering you about your brother?
Okay, so the past year or two, my brother has changed a little bit. With kind of all of the tension, you know, that we see going on, you know, in our country and in the world and everything, he has, become more vocal about things, which is okay. But it's become an interference in just kind of everyday life. You know, now...
Is he older or younger? Sorry.
He's younger.
He's younger.
He's 24.
Okay,
yeah.
So you guys have... okay.
Tell us some of the things he's saying to you. Or saying to
everyone. Yeah, so like, for example, like on Easter, just this past week, you know, everyone was hanging out, having a good time, and then all of a sudden he just comes out with these comments about how, you know, women are gold diggers and women don't really have it bad. It's guys who have it bad because, you know, the women only want them for their money and things like that. And
true.
Right?
Why are you calling again, Alyssa?
And, you know, besides women peace, he brings race into it, not against any particular race, but how, you know, racism doesn't really exist. It's all perpetrated by the media to divide us, and it's not actually something that's really happening. And
just all different things like that. And if it comes up in you know, intelligent conversation and we talk about it, that's one thing, but it literally just comes out of nowhere and it's all the time.
So now it's coming to the point. Oh, so I'm sorry. You're coming to the point of what?
It's okay.
Well, he's lonely, right? He's a lonely person.
Yes.
He doesn't have too many friends. Does he still live with your parents?
He was in the military. He was stationed out in San Diego. He just got home this past fall. So he still has some friends out there. He really doesn't have many friends now that he's back home. And yeah, he does live with my parents.
So he's mad. And he's mad at you for living an independent life. And he's mad at the world in general.
Yep.
And and it's he's on a mission to alienate himself from you and from everybody else so he doesn't have to confront real relationships right now. Terry,
exactly.
What he is suffering from is a typical, very, very male oriented malady called self-pity. And self-pity for guys is our kryptonite. And the problem is self-pity feels wonderful. It feels so good.
This is why
he's jumping up and saying stuff out of nowhere.
You have to examine yourself.
Poor me. They all want my money and the racism perpetuated by the media. What happened to the white guy? You know what I mean? It's bad when you're white and you can feel bad for yourself. That's crazy. You got everything in the world.
Exactly.
And it's like, man, if you can figure out a way to have pity, it's an actual miracle. And it's so wild. But that's the thing. It's self-pity colors everything, and it feels so good that you just want to spring out. And that's just why he's just jumping up with this. And let me tell you, it's dangerous. It's so insidious. Mm-hmm. I mentioned this earlier. That self-pity is the same thing the Facebook killer felt. You know what I mean?
Right. So, I think that Alyssa recognizes this.
Yes, because it's a problem.
I think her brother may need, you know, some degree of therapy or like because I think that's what you're asking, right? I totally feel like you probably don't even engage in his crazy, like, you probably don't take the bait. Of his crazy antics or whatever he says that he wants to engage you with, because it's definitely a form of lashing out. You know, he's saying, "Pay attention to me, sister." You know,
and it's
pay,
depression. Like, it's a form of depression. I think you know what you need to ask him the right questions in the right way. Like, just ask him like, how are you feeling? Why are you hurt?
Yeah.
And let me tell you, hopefully, if you ask him and not in a make him defensive in any way, but just really concerned to say, hey, how are you feeling? Like, you're hurting. I see that you're hurting. Who hurt you?
Yeah.
What's hurting you? Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, you'll be surprised. I mean, being a bro, you know, you're a sister, and he might open up to you in a very surprising way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The worst, I think, course of action would be to attempt to argue with him.
Right.
You know what I mean? Or like present like, well.
Yeah.
And I know that it's tempting because that's exactly what he wants. And I think the best course of action is looking at this from a bigger picture. But I will say, Alyssa, that I think you can help and love as much as you possibly can. Don't let it affect your life too much if you can. It's not your responsibility, nor is it in your power to fix him.
That's fabulous advice. Mm-hmm. That's fabulous.
Thanks. Yeah.
No, really.
Yeah.
That's genius.
Yeah, my biggest struggle is feeling guilty, not wanting to, you know, hang out with him as much anymore. Because with exception to that, he is such an awesome person. He's so funny. He's so great to be around. And I miss that. And I miss, you know, looking forward to hanging out with him. And
can you tell him that exactly?
But see, I do want to add this. You do need to stop hanging out with him. Like, he needs to feel that kind of isolation. Because,
when,
you know, It's always like, I got family members that we can't hang out. He's always talking about, you know, he's always talking. And it's the opposite, where he's like, the white man ain't going to never let you get nothing. And you're like, hey, man, I can't be around here because I'm getting paid by white people. I'm so sorry. You know what I mean? and you know what? It's weird, but I had to, you have to respect your space, the things that's going to keep you sane. And keep,
definitely,
you know, and leaving him alone a little bit. I mean, having those conversations, like, how are you hurting? What's going on? Being gentle. But then all of a sudden, okay, mm-hmm. I can't be around that. And he needs to feel that.
Definitely.
I think that's really smart. But I do think that, you know, he's 24. I think this is sadly pretty common, this sort of this trend.
That's true too.
And it's unfortunate, but I think telling him, like, just like you said, like, you're such an awesome person. You're so funny. You know, I'm so proud to say that you're my little brother. And I love it when you're strong and amazing, you're smart. You were so funny when you said that thing, not the thing about the women or people of other race.
Not that thing.
Take that out of the stand-up routine.
Yeah.
And also recognize too that I feel like Sim is probably familiar with this. Certainly I am. But relationships with siblings tend to get better as they get older too. I feel like can be a rocky patch in the 20s that tends to be pretty normal, and then you sort of come back around as shit gets real, as they say in my generation.
Yeah.
The X generation. No, I wasn't even X.
We're Generation X.
Oh,
yeah, we're not Y. Yeah. We're X, unfortunately.
I feel like I'm the oldest Generation Xer. That
I know. Yeah, I'm 49. So what am I? I don't know. I'm a baby boomer.
We're X with you. No, you're not a baby boomer.
Okay,
we're X.
Alyssa, I know that I didn't let you get to talk too much, but I do feel like you are presenting a concern and an issue that a lot of our listeners can relate to, whether it's a sibling or a friend or a boyfriend, about this sort of current trend of a lot of blame game and and sort of a self-victimization. Anyway, so please keep us posted and maybe, I think, just, you know, kill him with love and maturity.
Definitely.
Wait, that's terrible. You know what I mean.
No.
Love and maturity.
Yeah, that's great. Kill him
with love and maturity.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
That's great.
Alyssa, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Any other bits?
No, that's good.
Okay.
Nothing to say.
All right. Thanks, Alyssa. We love you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Love you too. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Have a good night.
Love you.
Bye.
If I say I love you,
how many times did you say it?
I just said it twice there,
okay.
But I realized that next time I'm going to try to say I love you about 4 times.
Okay.
And see how as I'm saying goodbye to a stranger. I love you. But the thing is that I really mean it.
What if they don't say it back and it's a little like.
No, that's the thing. You do mean it. Yeah, I know.
I do.
It's
okay. It's from the heart.
All right, we should wrap this up, huh?
Terry Crews.
Can't wait. First of all, I can't believe what I just witnessed. Oh. You are such an incredible person. You really are.
Thank you. Now, listen, thank you for letting me talk. And I have a lot to say. And it's really a great, great atmosphere. This podcast is amazing.
We didn't even get to talk about Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
No, it's all good.
Everything that's going on. You're doing everything.
It's on TV. It's all good. But this is the stuff that I'm called to do, you know, and just talk about my stuff.
And I can't wait and dear listeners, please give us your feedback, because I felt like this is a really, really special podcast with you, Terry. This, I think you gave me a lot of great food for thought, and I know our listeners will value everything you have to say. And so we'll keep you posted on people's feedback, because if I know my listeners, I know you guys are going to talk about what really resonated with what Terry said earlier about everything, about relationships and masculinity and, you know, whatever, femininity and making it and surviving in this day and age. So thank you so much, Terry.
Thank you, Anna. Thank you for having me.
Thanks. Thank you. Good night, sweet dear listeners.
Thank you so much, Terry.
All right,
good night, everyone.
Good night. She's